I actually forgot my notes this morning, but I said to Rick, if I don't know the principles by now, it's pretty pointless. So, hopefully when you came in, you grabbed a pumpkin. If you didn't, make sure you get one before you go, because that's your kind of memory tool for when you're during the week and totally not thinking about what you're supposed to be thinking about, and you need a reminder. So, God is absolute good and everywhere present. When you plant a pumpkin, what do you plant? A whole pumpkin? A big, huge, 1,500-pound vegetable? No, you plant a seed. What is present in that seed? Well, I don't really know, but everything that is required to make a pumpkin is already there when you plant that pumpkin seed. God is absolute good and everywhere present. God is present even in the pumpkin seed. The pumpkin is present in the pumpkin seed. And furthermore, the pumpkin is absolute good. You plant that seed, you really don't know what's going to come out of it, except you expect to get a pumpkin because that's what you planted. But it's absolute good. Whatever it is, it's all good. The pumpkin is present even in its seed. Number two, pumpkins are complete and perfect beings. The Spirit of God lives within each pumpkin. Therefore, again, all pumpkins are inherently good. The pumpkin is growing. You see it doing its thing. When Aaron and I grew pumpkins, we had to turn them over sometimes because we didn't want them to rot on one side where they lay on the ground. So we turned them over. We did what we had to do. And we grew pumpkins. And what was funny that year, the pumpkin crops were bad. Farmers were looking all over the place for other people that had pumpkins. But we got three pumpkins. And that strain of pumpkins keeps on because we just painted faces on some that we still had from his other pumpkin seeds. So that was pretty amazing. But the pumpkin is complete. Spirit of God lives within each pumpkin. The pumpkin doesn't ask for something else. It doesn't look outside itself for what it needs. Yes, it needs sun and the right kind of weather, but who controls that? Not the pumpkin. God does. Nature does. The pumpkin just sits there and grows. And again, all pumpkins are inherently good. No matter what we think of them when they're growing, God thinks that they are good. God thinks, God knows that we are good. Pumpkins are co-creators with God, creating reality I have through their presence, because we don't know that they think. We don't know they don't either. But they are co-creators with God. There wouldn't be a pumpkin if there was no pumpkin seed and no pumpkin growing. But there is a pumpkin. And why is there a pumpkin? It's a kind of a seesaw. It's a balancing act between God and the 1,500-pound pumpkin on the other side of the scale. Who wins? Well, nobody wins. It's just it's a balance. The pumpkin doesn't fight with God. It co-creates with God. The pumpkin exists because it lives by the laws of nature, if you will. It lives by God's laws. Otherwise, it wouldn't grow into a pumpkin. Do we live by God's laws? Well, we do, but we also have free will. We are co-creators with God, and we create our reality through what? Our thoughts. Now, when we choose to harness the principles, and I don't mean put a choker on them and make them do what we want them to do, I mean use them to our greatest good, then we co-create a good reality through our good thoughts. Number four, through affirmative prayer and meditation, we connect with God and bring out the good in our lives. Pumpkins connect with God too. They must, otherwise they wouldn't grow to be 1,500 pounds. I say that because I saw one at the fair recently that was, and it just amazed me that there could be a pumpkin that big. It was huge. We can be huge too. Maybe not 1,500 pounds. I gotta make sure I cover everything. But we can do huge things, not because we can, but because we connect with God. And when we are connected with God, we can do things that we would never imagine in our human minds that we can do. This is why we have affirmative prayer and meditation. It's not just this boring thing where we fall asleep, although sometimes if you fall asleep during meditation, it's because that's good and it's your best healing time. But through affirmative prayer and meditation, we connect with God. And we don't just connect, but we bring out the good in our lives. The good is already there. The good was there in the pumpkin seed before the process even started. We're just bringing it out now. So there's the pumpkin growing on its way. And what is the pumpkin doing? Does the pumpkin meditate? Again, we don't know that it doesn't, so we'll just assume it does. It sits there, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't worry about what's going to happen next and who's going to be at celebration on Sunday and whatever else. It sits there, and it grows. It soaks up the sun. It soaks up its water when the water comes. And it's obviously connected with its source. Its source is the same as our source. It's God. So how dare we think, whether consciously or not, that there is something in our lives that we can't handle or can't do or anything else. We have the same source as the pumpkin. God is our source. And when we are really connected with that, doubt doesn't spring up, and if it does, it doesn't last long. That, I think, is what we're striving for. Not necessarily a state of always being connected and never experiencing any contrast, as Abraham says, but of knowing that when we are experiencing some contrast or something that we think is negative, we don't get caught up in it because we know we're connected with God, and when we focus on that, that connection feels more real to us. We're always connected, but we're not always aware. The pumpkins, they must be aware. Look how big they get. And when you make the pie, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, I had to say that too. So, the last principle is the hardest one. That's why it's last. Knowledge of these spiritual principles is not enough. We must live them. We see the pumpkins live them. All of nature lives them. Our pets live them, and I think that's why we have pets. Our children live them until they get so integrated into society that they do what the rest of us do. So we can look at the ones who live them, not necessarily to be exactly like them in life. We may not want the same things that they want, and that's fine, but we can emulate their example of connectedness and spirituality that is true spirituality, which is lived. What point is there to your spirituality if it doesn't come forth in your life? And the other week when Lucas was here and Nancy asked why people are kind of reluctant to be on a spiritual path, Lucas said they're lazy and they want to do other things. That's true. People maybe are not lazy, but they feel like the spirituality is cutting into their lives. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be not just integrated into your life, but the foundation that you live on. If your house doesn't have a good foundation, well, the heck with the rest of the house. If your pumpkin is not connected to its source, there's going to be no pumpkin, much less a big pretty one that we all like to love and admire and just be in awe of. So we must live the principles. How do we do that? Oh, I don't know. When I figure it out, I won't be here anymore. That's what it is, though. It's an awareness. We do that by our awareness. And we may have books, ministers, teachers, other things that are tools. But really, we have to make the principles our own. When we discover how we feel them best, then, that's when we really start picking up some momentum, and spirituality isn't something that we have to consciously do. Okay, I have to go to this class now because that's what I'm going to do next. No. In your daily life, you feel things. You might feel lighter. And if you do, you know, oh, I must be connected now. And after you've felt it for a while, you know it when it comes, and you know how to get there when you're not there. But that's what everything is. It's an awareness. You can have all the intellectual knowledge about unity or about anything else that you please, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Intellectual knowledge is fine. It has a purpose, and it wouldn't be here if it wasn't good. But we have to have that spiritual foundation. And that's what unity really is. There are other new thought organizations and denominations that are different. And that's fine. But in my experience, some of them, for me at least, didn't have the spiritual foundation that unity has. Unity is love. And I mean God love, not ours. And thank goodness for that. We are conditioned and conditional sometimes. But this love, it's not dependent on what you do or what you don't do. It's there. It has to be there. As James Dillard Freeman says, the poet, the great unity poet. I am there, he says, even when you don't see me. Why? Because I love you. And we hear those words so often that maybe they don't mean much to us, but if you really think about it, to think that you are here because of love, to think that the pumpkin grows as big as it does because of love, is a pretty powerful thing. In Teach Us to Pray, Charles Fillmore says, we call it gravity. It holds us to the earth. It keeps things in their solid form, as we call it. And you can call it whatever you want, but really it's love. It's the same thing that brought us here. It's the same thing that keeps us on our path and loves us even when we stray. And it's the same thing we're going to return to when we're not in this form anymore. The energy in my body, this is an affirmation from Dr. Paul Leon Masters, who founded the International Metaphysical Ministry. And it says, the energy in my body was there even before my body was, is while my body is, and will be when my body is no more. That energy is source energy. Call it whatever you want, but in the end, it's love. Unity is love. And that's why we have the basic principles, so that we can more fully live in love. And the reason I bring the pumpkins into this is because sometimes it's good to have a tool, a symbol, a picture, something. Because this intangible thing, it can be hard to understand. And we can intellectualize all we want. But sometimes when we relate it to something else, it just clicks. So I'm hoping that for someone here, the pumpkin clicked. Unity is love. And love is unity. And that is the rest of the story.